College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, like looking at Houston, if Houston was going to say, we'll take Jalen and Drew and we'll give you Van Vliet back and Jabari and Eason and we'll give you the 10th pick and, you know, you'll save like $20 million. We can make it work with our cap and that gets you under the second apron right there and gets you a rebuild. I think they would have to think about deals like that. And then if you're Houston and you can get Jalen and Drew in the same trade and give up assets, but not touch Thompson and not touch Şengün and, you know, keep it up going.
That's Bill Simmons with Ryan Russillo on his podcast talking out Celtics trades that they would have to consider. I guess he's kind of run from this on social media, Keith.
Yeah, he kind of clarified because one of these like NBA Central like took that part out and was like, basically Bill would trade Jalen Brown for Fred VanVleet. And he's like, oh, hold on a second. I guess he was saying he wouldn't trade Jalen, but...
But he said right there they'd have to look at it.
They'd have to look at it, which I think is even too strong. I would not look at that. I think everything is probably under consideration with where they're at.
Give me the trade again, and it's high noon. Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin in studio with us. What's up, Terp?
What's up?
Would you do this, Terp?
Yeah, I want your thoughts on this.
Would you trade Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday to the Rockets for Fred VanVleet, Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, and pick 10?
No. You're not getting any of their top guys. Think about the precedent, too, that's been set around the league. Mikal Bridges went for 5 first-round picks last summer. Like, that's kind of what you're looking for if you're the Celtics.
Yeah, but you're not going to get 5 first-round picks.
No, I'm not, but if you're talking about Jalen Brown.
A guy who can't play. Oh, well, for Jalen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you're talking about Jalen Brown,
Holiday and Porzingis. I mean, you're not going to get...
You're not going to get
5 first-rounders for Brown either because of the deal.
Is Brad listening on Jalen Brown?
My guess would be no.
Yeah.
My guess would be no. I think they're going to try to build around Jalen Brown, Derek White, and Jason Tatum. That's probably the core they're looking at.
Why are they meeting with Cooper Flagg?
Well, I mean, then you look at like what you obviously know who's has that number one pick now. It's Dallas, and they've shown they're in a win now scenario. So if you meet with them, and what is a Kristaps Porzingis, Drew Holiday, and maybe like the 28th and 32, what does that get you for Dallas? Like, they've shown that they're not really competent in making these moves. Who would have thought they would have traded Luka Doncic? I think, like, you're doing your due diligence. They're probably going to try to move up in the draft. They have the assets to do it. They're probably going to look to get younger, more so than bring in players. Like, they're going to bring in players, of course, but you're probably looking more to build through the draft and build up guys on cheaper deals so you can retain guys like Derek White, Jalen Brown, and Jason Tatum all together. Because you got 2 Supermax guys right now, and obviously there's a lot of money piled into this roster as is. So if you're making a move, I would imagine you're going up into the draft to try to build that way.
Sure. But again, but for Flagg specifically, like Trey Johnson maybe would be available at 10 right in that Rocket scenario. For Flagg specifically, that would you're not getting that done with Porzingis and Andrew Hall. That would have to be Jalen.
They would have to be a player like that. Yeah. Yeah. But they're also, I mean, the whole reason Dallas traded Luka was for a win now player. And are they willing to wait and develop? It's going to take Cooper Flagg's not even 19 yet. It's going to take him a year or two to figure it out. It's like playing with an aging Kyrie Irving coming off a torn ACL, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, who can't stay on the court. Like, I mean, I don't know. They seem to, all the reporting is that Dallas is going to stick and pick, but like, could you really trust them? They just traded Luka Doncic.
Yeah, no, that's why I think you got to at least explore it. Now, that might be more for Giannis. That might be more for Booker or who knows what else it could be. But Al Horford seems like for sure gone.
Yeah.
Right, a free agent after this year. And then Luke Kornet, too, who you thought, if you're just looking at this roster, you're like, all right, well, maybe Kornet kind of slides over and he ends up playing more minutes. Like, well, he's also gone.
Is he more inclined now to stay, though, because he can be the starting center for this team for
how
years
much
to come?
It would be a multi-year deal. Though?
I mean, it would have to be closer to the minimum. They could probably give him more than the minimum, but it's going to have to be 4 less. But then
wouldn't
again,
somebody
he's
pay
turning
him
30.
Something?
Yeah, I
not
mean,
to go
he
overboard
turned down
with
less money
five,
last
yeah,
year to come back here. But does he want to stay here? Does like he's happy here? Does he want to stay with this core and have a chance to start for... Eventually, they're going to be contenders again, and you know they're going to be a playoff team next year. But
he should cash in.
I mean,
whatever he could get, he should cash in. And the Celtics shouldn't. He's not the kind of player the Celtics should be paying. They're trying to save money. I thought is what Bill Chisholm's trying to do.
He won't cost them that much, though.
But I'm just saying. But you already you're into the second apron without even factoring him in. Now you're handing him an extension. Like that's not the kind of guy
you
hand the money out to.
You have something around Tatum. You can't have Tatum come back and have nobody on the roster. And this is a guy that Tatum plays really well with and fits their system really well. So you're looking at it like Horford's going to be off the books. You're assuming Porzingis will probably be traded. You don't have any bigs on the roster if that's the case. Namia Cade is your starting center right now.
Yeah,
if that's the case.
Small ball.
I'd start wrapping my head around that. Yeah.
So, yeah, like you have to look at Cornette and, like, you know, you're going to have to pony up money somewhere. It's not like you're just going to completely empty the cupboards and leave nothing for Jason Tatum. And Cornette's a player that they really believe in that organization. Like, they gave him another shot. And I wonder if that's something Cornette considers. Like, a couple of years ago, this guy was on 10-day deals. Mm. And Boston gave him a chance. He's contributing at a high level for a championship caliber team. So I wonder if he's more inclined now, especially being a starter.
John in the Twitch chat says this, Terp. Am I taking crazy pills? Cornette should not be the starting center.
I mean, who else would it be? That's the thing. Like, that's the situation you're in. If Al Horford's retired and you're trading Kristaps Porzingis, like, who would it be?
It would be Kata. It would be, like, that's, I'm not saying that's ideal by any means.
They wouldn't start Kata over Cornette. No way.
I know, but it's a, this is, but Terp, this isn't a hoops thing. It's a financial thing. They're trying to save money and dip under the tax, and Kata's under contract, Cornette isn't.
All right.
So it's a financial thing.
Other option, would it be Porzingis? I think we've all written him off as the series played out. It's like, he's gone. Got to get rid of him. $30 million. There's not going to be much of a return. The guy clearly is dealing with something, and I don't know if it'll be resolved. Nobody knows if it'll be resolved. But is there a scenario where he's actually on the team next year?
I mean, yeah, from a roster-building standpoint, it feels like Porzingis would be the one out of the bigger financial guys you would keep. Just looking at your guards, you probably have more faith in Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, who seem untouchable right now, than you do Cade and Cornette. And Cornette's not even under contract right now. So from a roster building standpoint, yeah, I'd feel like Porzingis would make more sense to hang on to. And then again, like, what is his trade value? Maybe there's some interest because he's on the last year of his deal. Maybe a team will take that on, try to make a run, but you don't know what you're getting with him. Like, he missed the NBA Finals last year for something that 45 people in the history of medicine have had on their ankle. And then he misses a playoff series now because of, or he wasn't, didn't miss it, but he was completely non-existent because of a mystery illness. It's like, are you really going to bet on this guy? And you probably don't have to give up much. The Celtics are just looking to kind of get under the tax. That's what they need. But you can also, they're going to be looking to get players back and picks back. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. The whole offseason is just a big question mark.
You think Mazzulla's in any jeopardy?
No, not at all. Not one bit. I mean, they had back-to-back 60-win seasons. They just won a title. And I know a lot of the coaches have been let go after winning a title. Look at Mike Malone this year, obviously. And his team had plenty of success going and pushing Oklahoma City to a 7-game series. So, I mean, I don't think there's any. I think they really believe in him. They believe in this philosophy. And to be honest, man, they just broke down at the end. Like, they broke down.
But they were going to be down 3-1 even before Tatum got hurt.
And they should have won that series. And they should have won games 1 and 2.
That's why you'd look at Mazzulla. Independent of the 60-win seasons, that's why you'd look at, or why some, I'm with you. I wouldn't fire him. Keith wouldn't fire him. I don't think they're going to fire him, but that's what people would look to.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when talking about a team this talented as well, you're going to look at the head coach. That just comes with the territory in any sport, but specifically basketball, when you have all these all-star and all-NBA players compiled on one roster, and you're eliminated in the second round. Like, this team was supposed to be playing into June. This team was supposed to be back in the NBA Finals, and when they don't get there, people are naturally going to turn and look at Mazzulla. And don't get me wrong, he wasn't perfect through the series whatsoever. Not at all. Like, there was plenty of things down the stretch that they could have done right, and blowing the 20-point leads in back-to-back games. I mean, a team hadn't done that in a single postseason, let alone back-to-back games at home. Like, yeah, he was far from perfect, but it's also, it works. Like, this team over the last 2 years is 101 or 100 games over 500. Like, their philosophy's working. They just kind of ran out at the end and couldn't make shots. And I mean, it sounds like when they lost to Miami in 2023, Joe said it was like they had their worst week at the worst possible time. It's kind of what happened against New York as well. Like, when you're looking at the shots they're missing.
Yeah, but when that keeps happening, I'd look at the coach.
Yeah.
I'd look at something when it keeps happening.
Yeah. I mean, are they going to be able to keep going with this strategy? Because let's say they do move on from Porzingis and Horford goes play somewhere else. The chances of getting power forward center type guys that shoot threes the way that those two do. Like, I think what's really changed was when they got rid of Time Lord, they then had almost every lineup had five guys that could shoot threes.
Yes.
Isn't there kind of a likelihood that next year there might be lineups that only have three guys that you want shooting threes? And doesn't that change things?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, everyone in this rotation, with the exception of Luke Cornette, who probably is still a league average shooter, but didn't shoot the three anymore. Like, all of them shot league average or better from three. So you couldn't really, like, leave any of them open. They were all, you can go five out with a lineup like that. You're probably not going to look at like that way. Like, with guys like Al Horford, who's developed into a decent enough three-point shooter. Kristaps Porzingis, obviously one of the best big men at shooting the three, and he does it from so far away. it's obviously going to look different when you're having guys in. Like, you're not going to have the talent that you have, so you're going to have to mix it up a little bit. Yeah, they're still going to rely on the threes, and they're still going to rely on creating these advantages and mismatches or whatnot, but your philosophy has to change with the talent that you have on your roster, and it's not going to look the same. Like, this was an extremely talented group that was catered perfectly for what this team wanted to do. Without that, without the talent on this team and without Jason Tatum, there has to be changes, absolutely.
We got Pure Hoops with Terp on a Monday, breaking down the Celtics, their series loss to New York. Any moves going forward for this team, you can weigh in. 617-779-7937. All your questions for Terp here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Let's go to Louie in Amesbury. What's up, Louie?
Hey, guys. How are you? Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday.
Listen, I listen all the time. First time caller. I'm homesick today, so I'm really enjoying the show. It's all good. Listen, isn't it just amazing that in a second we're talking about back-to-back championships, and then Tatum goes down, and then we see how quick Porzingis, whatever he's got going on, Holiday looks like an old man. I mean, it's just I just can't believe it. Now we're talking about Cooper Flagg, a.k.a. Larry Bird-type trades. And I'm just going to jump to this because I've been on hold for a little bit. And I've been listening to a lot of what you guys are saying. Can you imagine the Dallas GM all of a sudden giving up Cooper Flagg?
Yeah. So no, so I can't. You guys both can.
You guys are a moron. Of course I can. He's proven, like, he kept his job after that. I guess they had to. Because
he literally got bailed out.
Well,
getting the first.
If you believe the conspiracy theories, maybe he just knew all along.
That's true.
Maybe he had it the whole time.
He's like, guys, I can't say anything now. But just play this out. Yeah. You're like, what? So he says, on the one hand, the caller's right. Like, this thing turned on a dime. They went from being, like, back-to-back champs, like, oh, my God, you got to blow it up. But before the Tatum injury, we had been talking a lot about how much money they're spending. Wick Grosbeck did the interview with Greg's show talking about the new owner, and nobody's going to be in the second apron. So we were already going to remove a guy from this top seven anyway. At least one guy from the top seven. Then Tatum gets hurt, so that changes the whole thing. So now you're talking about minimum two guys from this group are going to be out. Horford probably unlikely to re-sign because of what's going on. So now you're like, there's three guys from this group that are out. So yeah, it has changed, but I mean, there were signs, and then there was just a season-ending injury.
I also think people holding on to the hope that had they gone back-to-back and remained healthy, Bill Chisholm would have a hard time coming in and start selling off pieces.
I was in that camp. If they won back-to-back, I thought it would be hard. We will never know.
And they probably could have, even if they went back-to-back and pulled this off, because of the Jason Tatum injury, like, you probably wouldn't justify it either. Like, it was hard already. Like, there was changes inevitably coming soon. Like, when this group was put together, it had an expiration date. And that date is now moved forward with an early exit and Jason Tatum being out what could be a calendar year.
Let's go to Steve in Ohio. What's up, Steve?
Steve? Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, you sound great.
I believe the coach should be fired. Damn. And here's why.
Yes.
Number one, Brown was injured, so to start him in the third quarter just risked his injury getting worse. They obviously
so you
weren't
brought,
gonna win
you wouldn't have brought Jalen back out for the second half of game six? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I wouldn't play him in the second half. It was obvious that he was injured.
Well, Steve, the full report, he was hurt back in March. So this happened in March, according to Rashawn.
So you wouldn't have had him in game five where the guy was unbelievable.
He was their best player on the court quite a few times in this postseason on a partially torn meniscus.
No, I give Jalen a lot of credit for playing through that. I don't know if I've said that today.
I think that's a Missoula thing. I think that's like Brown. That is a medical staff.
I give him credit. And let's see, does he need surgery to get it repaired? There's apparently, you're more aware of this than I am, Turp, but there's various things you can do. You can get nothing done. You can get it replaced.
Yeah.
You can get it repaired. All various timetables, right? Robert Williams had his repaired?
Yes.
Yeah. And he came back. So, I mean, Jalen is going to be ready for opening night next year.
That's the hope. And Jalen did talk about it after the game, after game six, said they were going to meet and figure out what the best steps are moving forward. We probably won't hear from him again until at least Summer League if he does go. So maybe Brad will give something today, but it's really unclear. And it just adds to what a meltdown this has been towards the end of the year. I mean, clearly he's had it. He's been dealing with it. But nobody really knew the extent of what it was. And he was saying how it wasn't structural. Everyone's like, oh, it's just a bone bruise. Maybe he gets like a cleanup surgery on the knee after. And it just just way worse than what people thought.
Do you have the biggest issue from Game 6? Because as well as they played in Game 5, they were so bad in Game 6. Really, you couldn't have a bigger swing from the two games. So what stood out the most?
It just got out of control early. I was 16-16, and then New York went on that crazy run. Boston couldn't hit a shot. And I look at the guards. I mean, you needed Derek White. You needed Peyton Pritchard to be better in that situation. And Jalen was the best player on the floor for them, but he kept turning the ball over, which didn't help.
He just couldn't hold on to the ball,
Joe Mazzulla always like belabors the point about these margins and how important they are. And honestly, that's part of a big reason why they lost the series. When in the first quarter in that game, like 60% or whatever it was of New York's points came off second chance points and points off turnovers. Like stuff the Celtics can't control. And those margins become ever so more important when Jason Tatum's off the floor. Like you need to now control those, because I thought Boston was still the more talented team even without Jason Tatum. But turns out with all the injuries, probably not. But like, you need to control those areas of the game no matter what, especially when Jason Tatum's down.
Did you hear Scal after the game?
I actually didn't. I heard you guys talk about it, but I didn't hear it.
So in the clip, I'll just paraphrase. We're going to play it again coming up. But he said the Celtics got into bad habits and they were cheating the game. And the Knicks deserve to win, etc. What do you think he's talking about?
I think he's talking about probably looking back at that stretch that they had in December and January and letting bad habits creep in there, whether it be in the clutch.
But like, what is that? Is that launching too many threes? Like, what is that?
I mean, just maybe getting away from their style, like lack of attention to detail, which we saw, which obviously contributes to the offensive rebounds and the turnovers, stuff like that. Inability to capitalize down the stretch. Like, think about that Atlanta game, for example, when Drew Holiday committed the foul and they ended up losing that game. And everyone's like, well, it's Drew Holiday, it's the Celtics, they're going to bounce back. And they didn't execute well enough down the stretch in the fourth quarter in the playoffs. So that's probably what he meant. I mean, everyone all season long is like, they're the champs. They're going to show up when it matters, and especially in the clutch. Like, we saw them execute at such a high level last season, they're going to be all right. Turns out they weren't. Like, those are the bad habits that I think he's talking about, mainly the attention to detail, lack of defense. Like, they wanted to be a defensive-minded team, and then they get lit up in Game 6, and the second half of Game 4 was embarrassing from a defensive standpoint. So, yeah, I think that's what he means, and I think he's onto something.
You mentioned Drew Holiday. He did sound like, you know, he wants to be back, thinks that there's still a window for a championship, but will he be back? Is that a guy that they find another spot for?
I mean, you're going to have to dump some of these higher-paid guys, right. And it's not going to be Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, or Derek White, it feels like. Peyton Pritchard's on a really team-friendly deal, so it doesn't feel like it's going to be him. So you're looking at Porzingis, Holiday, and Hauser. Two, at least one of them, probably two, have to go. So, yeah, I mean, there's, that would give them like a 33% chance or whatever of being here next year.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just wonder, there's probably one of those guys, if Tatum was healthy. I feel like if Tatum's not, is there even more idea to like, hey, we're going to let Jaylen Brown kind of lead this team. We still think we're a playoff team, but do you get a little bit more creative and move up? Because now I'm thinking in my head, all right, so now, what does Drew Holiday look like 2 years
from
now? Does
he fit the timeline now?
Right,
I don't think Tatum plays, if it's a calendar year, Drew Holiday's 36. Like, is he fitting that timeline?
And
it feels like when he signed that extension, it was a really tradable deal. I think everyone kind of knew that in the moment. It's like, oh, are they really going to hold on to Drew this long, or are they going to trade him off? And there's definitely still value in Drew Holiday. I mean, I know he's dealing with some things. He had the pinky and had the hamstring, and he's a winning player. Like, they don't win the Eastern Conference Finals last year without Drew Holiday.
So I think there's value, but it is limited. There's a limited amount of teams that he has value to.
Same thing with Porzingis.
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue.
Well,
the
Porzingis on an expiring deal, I think, has maybe more teams he could fit their timeline. Yeah. Holiday, there's only, like,
it just depends on what you're willing to give up.
Well, sure.
For a part-timer,
Chat suggested Denver, which I thought was a good match for Holiday.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be a good fit with Murray in that backcourt. They won a couple of years ago. They're trying to maybe figure things out. A team like that for Holiday makes sense to me.
Yeah, and maybe even like a team, I mean, I'd have to go down the line, but like maybe a team with like a younger guard, a team that's kind of on the cusp, that's, you know, looking for a veteran that can lead them and just bring some experience. Like, Drew Holiday can still play. It's not like he's damaged goods or anything. The guy can still play. It's just, can he play at the number that he's given? It's like $100 million or whatever over the next 4 years. Like, is a team going to be willing to do that? And Brad Stevens is going to have a hard time parting with him, too. I mean, he loves Drew Holiday.
Well, it might not be his call, though, right? I mean, it's coming from the new owner, and they got to get into the second apron. Let's squeeze in one more question for Terp. Charlie in the car has a question about the apron. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, so I was hoping you could just leave me on just a little bit extra so I can hear the answer so I don't miss it. So,
sure.
So one of the things that I read, like, for example, Porzingis, the only team that can take on his salary without sending salary back to Boston, I read, is Brooklyn. Now, okay, so let's assume he doesn't go to Brooklyn. So do the Celtics need to take on expiring contracts that they need to shed before the start of next season, or can they carry those expiring contracts beyond the 25-26 season? That's what I don't understand. Like, do they have to shed this salary before next season?
Yeah. Well, yes. When does it have to be locked in? Opening night? Like, when do you have to lock in that second by the trade deadline?
Probably by opening night.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why is Brooklyn I thought they would have to match salary in every trade. You were telling me this before. Why is Brooklyn the team that doesn't have to – they wouldn't have to take on salary?
Just for them to stay under the aprons.
Because they have no money committed next year.
Got it.
So a team like Denver, for example, just based on their salaries for next year, $203 million.
They're not
like
that different
million
of a spot than the Celtics. Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams. I think Cleveland's a team that's going to have to get under their deal. They have like $210 million committed to next year's team. But anyway, so I think without going like super into specifics, because it's the salary cap in the NBA is the most complicated,
especially
thing.
Now.
And like, even it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
But that's why I think the likelihood of like Holiday and Porzingis being gone make the most sense, because let's say that's $60 million. You're not just dumping $60 million. You might have to take back 40. So yeah, you just saved 20, but you just lost two really good players. But that's probably how they're going to have to do it.
I mean, it's going to cost $500 million to retain this roster next year.
So that's
they
not happening.
Exited in the second round, and they're without their best player next year. Tell me, would you pay that? Like $200 million for the Stars?
So can Chisholm back out of the deal? Is it too soon for or too late for him to back out?
It's fully financed. It's ready to go.
I bet he could. Be like Pags. Here you go. I bet he could.
And Pags would be all over.
Pags would do it. I bet he could.
Yeah.
Another big loss. Pags last game last week.
Pags last game.
Yeah.
The farewell game of Pax. Forgot about that.
It was an oversight on my end.
When he's like, we won't all be back next year.
Same team won't be back. No more Pags. Yep. No, if Tatum were healthy, I would be much more critical of them just saving money for basketball purposes, because you'd have a championship caliber roster and you'd be dismembering it. In this case, I get it. You don't have Tatum. It makes sense to dip under the luxury tax. I don't want to give Bill Chisholm an excuse for just saving money, but you're not going to be a championship contender next year. I think they'll be better than a lot of people do, 50 wins, fourth or fifth in the East, something like that. I think they could be that, but I don't think they're a true championship contender.
They'll still be a playoff team. I mean, it's harder to miss the playoffs than it is to get in the NBA. Like, they should absolutely still be a playoff team. And I like your benchmark, Jones. Like, try to win a round. Like, just try to win a round, stay relevant.
Sitting here
like,
today, that to me would be a successful year next
then
year.
Then what happens with Tatum? Yeah. Like, obviously you don't want to rush him back, but if he's cleared and ready to return, like, all systems a go from the doctors, like, if he can play, play him. Like, if there's no risk of further injury and, like, you get Tatum back and all of a sudden you could be back in that conversation. Now, I wouldn't bank on it, but if Tatum is a little bit earlier on the timeline, and obviously there's some major questions with that, because how is he going to come back and see the floor? Is he going to play himself? Like, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. But this team, as constructed right now, like, in the future with Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, assuming it's that core, is a playoff team, and they should be in the playoffs next year, and Shea should win a round.
Okay. The purest of pure hoops with Terp. We've been doing it all Celtics season. I think we're going to put it on ice for a little bit, Terp, but we appreciate it. We'll go to it.
As needed. Knicks, Pacers, who do you got?
Oh, good one.
I like the Pacers.
Same.
I like the Pacers. Same. That team's fun, and they were good last year. Like, they, again, I said it earlier. Like, they almost beat the Celtics last year in the conference finals, and the Celtics had this incredible run. Like, they are better than the Knicks.
This is good news for the Knicks fans, though, because I picked against the Knicks in every series. So they're just going to win the whole thing as I pick against them every round.
I guess I've picked against them in every series as well.
Except for this one.
Until now.
Something's got to give.
Something's got to give. All right, Terp, we appreciate it. Give him a follow at Justin M. Turpin. You can check out all his work, weei.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.